You're listening to the Rusted Culture Podcast.
Oh yeah, we're still here, folks, and I do want to welcome you back to the Rusted Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold. And today I just want to get something out in the light. Let's put a little light on this subject of the Attorney General's Bill Barr's summary. Let's bring that out into the full scope of daylight. And as we know, Attorney General Bill Barr is telling us, the American public, that the probe is completed. It's finished. Nothing to see here. Move on. In a report by Politico yesterday, they quoted Prosecutor Goodhart, and Prosecutor Goodhart is actually working for the Mueller investigation. They quoted him in court saying that it is continuing. The probe is continuing robustly, at least with respect to the case that he's involved with. And he was referring also to the grand jury. The grand jury is continuing. It's continuing robustly. Prosecutor Goodhart was replying to the judge in the Mystery Company case who was asking the grand jury Mueller had been using if that was still active. Is it still active? Are they still doing their business? And for those of you that know, the Mystery Company, or don't know rather, the Mystery Company is a whole other subject. And this company has been fighting a subpoena now for quite some time, and they've racked up a $50,000 a day fine, well over $2 million right now, because they don't want to produce the information. And this is just a hunch, but my hunch here, because the company has been reported to be owned by a foreign nation, my feeling here is that this company is a Russian company, and therefore it is the Russian government. Basically, this company is owned by the Russian government. That's my hunch, because what we're also finding out is that the company does not want its name to be out in the public eye. They don't want people to know who they are. Their attorneys have said this. And, you know, how would it sound to actually have a case where basically, Russia does not want to produce information through this company? It would sound like they're basically hiding something. But that's a hunch that it's Russian. But it's the point is here that the case is continuing. It is still active in some shape or form here. The Mueller probe is not finished if the grand jury is still active. In addition to all those other active cases that I mentioned in my last podcast, Prosecutor Brandon Van Grack is continuing. He's another prosecutor that's continuing to lead a new Department of Justice unit assigned to enforcing the laws associated with how Manafort and Rick Gates failed to disclose lobbying that they did for foreign entities. So it's all still active here. And out of that little epiphany that the grand jury is still active, here are some of the questions that I have. And the first one here is, did Mueller, forcing pressure from Bill Barr, Attorney General Bill Barr, to conclude the investigation, did Mueller simply decentralize the Russian investigation to essentially immunize the investigation against Attorney General Bill Barr's influence to wrap up the investigation? Was Bill Barr, who seems fairly eager to say in his summary that this investigation is done here, folks, move on, there's nothing to see, when it's clearly not done. So did Mueller foresee that pressure coming from the Attorney General to conclude the investigation? And has Mueller just simply created the report here in an effort to decentralize the investigation, or as I call it, immunize what's left of the investigation? And by decentralizing the investigation, by handing off key remaining parts to other U.S. attorneys, Mueller just made Barr's job of quashing the investigation by direct oversight to the person leading the investigation, Robert Mueller. He just made that infinitely more difficult. You see, Attorney General Barr could have simply picked up the phone, and without any of us knowing, he could have told Mueller or pressured Mueller to wrap this investigation up and create a report. He could have done that anytime. May have happened. I don't know. Nobody knows. But the point is, there's zero transparency to the public in doing that. In that process, there's zero transparency. We just don't know what Attorney General Bill Barr could have told Robert Mueller. And by Mueller decentralizing the remaining facets of this investigation to other U.S. attorneys, we now have the transparency. We can see what's happening without that invisible layer of influence that Bill Barr had over Robert Mueller. And if that's what Mueller just did, folks, it's a bit of pure genius. The grand jury is still active, and the investigation itself remains active. And in saying this, I don't think I'm wrong on this here, folks, what I'm going to tell you. I believe there is hardly a man that's more repulsed by what he has found in this investigation. There is hardly a more patriotic man, a veteran Marine here who served in Vietnam, Robert Mueller. There is hardly a more patriotic man than Robert Mueller, who literally must be sickened by what he's uncovered in this probe. And by writing a summary of this investigation, Robert Mueller is giving you, the American public, a window into the sickening details into what this presidency is really about. This report, in my mind, will give every American a reason to pause and demand that any number of details in that report be further investigated. And that's why, my friends, that is why Bill Barr is saying he won't have the report released for weeks. That's why they're delaying weeks. And I want you to keep in mind here that this is coming from a Department of Justice with an annual budget of $31 billion paid by us, the American taxpayer, with over 113,000 lawyers and other employees at its disposal. You mean to tell me that you can't muster enough resources to get this done within a week or a week and a half at most, Attorney General Bill Barr? Is that what you're trying to tell me here? What do we get with a $31 billion budget and 113,000 employees, if not the ability to take that report and release it to the public? And I told you, folks, I told you it was going to be a real fight to get that. And it is a fight. And given what I found out through Politico in that article, that the grand jury is still active, that the investigation essentially is still active, I don't have a lot of trust in the Attorney General, Bill Barr, to give me the truth. There really ought to be a bipartisan committee that also reviews this information from Robert Mueller to ensure the report to the American public isn't whitewashed. I don't have any trust for Bill Barr. And if I was doing that job, he would not have any trust in me for the same reason. A bipartisan committee would ensure that it's the only way we're going to get the truth and nothing but the whole truth. Well, folks, I want you to stay right there. We're going to be right back. We're going to be telling you some cuts. The Republicans are planning on some budget cuts. Big surprise. I'll tell you what's coming up. Stay right there. So here's some examples that are beginning to roll out of this administration on exactly what they're planning to cut. And I want you to keep in mind here, folks, that we just finished cutting taxes for the rich. And we've just finished cutting taxes for corporations. So it's no wonder we have such record deficits under the Trump administration. It's no wonder. No surprise. They've got to pay for those tax cuts somehow, don't they? And first up here is cuts for the Special Olympics, which reportedly would save $17.6 million by disenfranchising 272,000 children that currently enjoy the program. And let me ask, is it because the Special Olympics was founded in 1968 by a Kennedy Is that the problem? I would love to know ultimately, and I wouldn't discount the fact that that has something to do with it. Well, Betsy DeVos has said that, and I quote her here, given our current budget realities, the federal government cannot fund every worthy program, particularly ones that enjoy robust support from private donations. And all in all here, with the president has asked to cut about $8.5 billion, or 12% of the Education Department's budget for the fiscal year 2020, in what an official described as a desire to have some fiscal discipline and address some higher priority needs. Higher priority needs. And that's according to the New York Times. So are we talking higher priority needs like funding a wall? I suppose, is that part of the deal? Funding the wall, higher priority? Well, Betsy DeVos relied on classic Republican responses by saying this: we are not doing our children any favors when we borrow from their future in order to invest in systems and policies that are not yielding better results. Overwhelming federal debt may prove to be the single greatest barrier that future generations will face in trying to achieve the full potential of the American dream, and we cannot continue to kick that can down the road. So, Betsy, I'm kind of curious here. How do the tax cuts for the rich fit into kicking that can down the road? Well, however, a president's budget proposal, folks, it's just that. It requires congressional approval, or Congress can ignore the budget entirely. And even Republican lawmakers have split with Trump over some of his requests, thankfully. And this year, with Democrats controlling the House, Trump's budget faces even grimmer prospects. And we're finally getting that oversight that's been lacking with the democratically controlled House, folks. And he's going to get some pushback on this. So that is cut number one. Cut number two that we just found out about is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For the third year in a row, folks, they're trying to cut it. And the cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting would eliminate all taxpayer funding for the corporation over a two-year time span, cutting the organization's annual appropriation in the first year from $465 million to $30 million, or 94%. More than 70% of the CPB's annual funding goes to local public TV and radio stations, of which I enjoy, and I'm sure many of you do too. In the past 2 years, Congress has essentially ignored Trump's suggestion to defund public broadcasting, continuing its appropriations at essentially the same levels that have been doled out annually for the past decade. Now, the PBS chief, her name is Paula Kerger, is again relying on Congress to dispense with the president's recommendation. And I quote her in saying that we have very strong support in the House and the Senate on both sides of the aisle. So hopefully this won't go through. But of all the proposed cuts here, killing our health care, folks, or the trend, killing that trend of our health care essentially towards an actual program that benefits all Americans is the one that, to me, remains the most troubling. The Republicans themselves, they don't even have a clue as to what they can replace the Affordable Care Act with. And like I said before, Trump has basically twittered away the past 2 years, squandered 2 years, not doing a darn thing about health care. All he can say is that he wants to kill rather than fix the Affordable Care Act. It's time for real change here, folks, in health care, not half-baked knee-jerk assumptions to kill health care when you've got nothing to replace it with. And folks, I have to tell you this, if it's a battle Donald Trump wants over health care, then by God, it's a battle he shall get. Every day, every hour, every minute, we're going to fight to improve healthcare from what we have today and not take it away. We're going to fight every day, every hour, and every minute until Trump leaves office. And folks, I want to thank you for joining me back here again, taking us with you. Once again, we want to thank you for that. And again, we got two small podcasts this week instead of one big one. We'll see what we get next week. Maybe we'll get one big podcast, or maybe it might be two, but I do want to thank you for joining us as you do time and time again. From the Rustin Culture Studio, this is Frank Ebersold. Till we meet again.